Ralph Northam, Lieutenant Governor of Virginia.
Coming down to the wire here, what's your final pitch to voters?
Well, you know, as we travel around the Commonwealth of Virginia, there's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, and I think it's twofold. One, you know, people are watching some of the detrimental policies that are coming out of Washington, like the travel ban and his attempt to reverse DACA, pulling away from the Paris Accord, and now health care. And, you know, Virginians, they want someone that will stand up to those policies and also someone that will take Virginia to the next level. And so what we talk about as we go around the Commonwealth and listen to voters is that they want a job that they can support themselves and their families with. They want to know that their children have access to a world-class education system and that we're training the children for 21st century jobs. They also care deeply about, you know, making sure that they have access to affordable and quality health care. They want to live in environments where the air and water are clean. And finally, they want to live in communities that are safe, where there are not guns on every street corner. And finally, one of the things that's most important, and especially here from the millennials, and we have spent a lot of time on our college and university campuses, is inclusivity. You know, people realize that we live in a very diverse society, and that means that we need to be inclusive in Virginia. We need to welcome people to Virginia. Our lights are on, our doors are open. You know, and that's in contrast to a campaign from Mr. Gillespie that's just really been about divisiveness and promoting hatred and bigotry and fear-mongering, just in line with what's coming out of Washington. So we're getting a lot of enthusiasm. We expect a big turnout on November the 7th and a great day, not only for the governor's race, attorney general, and lieutenant governor. We have great candidates running, but also for our House of Delegates. We are really excited about picking up a number of seats for our House of Delegates as well.
If you're elected, how would you work with the House of Delegates if you aren't as successful in those House races as you might hope?
Well, you know, I've always had a good reputation in Richmond, one of bringing people from both sides of the aisle together. I was the one that passed the smoking ban in restaurants. And, you know, if you can imagine the tremendous influence that the tobacco industry has in Virginia, it took leadership, someone that could bring folks from both sides of the aisle and make that happen. I've also done a lot of work with concussions. You know, I'm a child neurologist. That's my background. And that was a bipartisan effort. And then finally, regarding our environment, you know, I was the one that initiated the legislation to study sea level rise, and now we have a resiliency program in place. So all of these things are example of leadership and being able to work with folks from both sides of the aisle.
You do support dedicated funding for Metro?
Absolutely. You know, Metro is vitally important to the economy, not only in Northern Virginia, but all across Virginia. And, you know, there have been some challenges with Metro. I think Paul Wiederfeld and his staff have done a nice job addressing those challenges, such as decreased ridership, the way that Metro was managed, and also safety issues. And now it's time for leadership to sit down with Washington and Maryland and talk about how we move forward with Metro to find a dedicated source of revenue and take that back to Richmond and really get the support of legislators from across the Commonwealth of Virginia to support Metro with the understanding that, you know, it's not just about Northern Virginia, it's about the economy of all of Virginia.
Do you have any kind of relationship with Governor Hogan or Mayor Bowser at all? Or, you know, kind of how would you build that relationship if you don't?
Well, I do. I know both of them, and you know, certainly followed their policies. And again, it's going to take a regional effort up here in Northern Virginia to bring people to the table and understand that, you know, Metro is vitally important to the economy of Northern Virginia and the rest of Virginia, and that we need to find a dedicated source of revenue, not just for the next year, not just for 4 years, but, you know, for the future.
And obviously, in addition to the hundreds of thousands of Virginians that take Metro, there are hundreds of thousands more that sit in traffic. So on the roads, we see tolls coming to I-66. There's a lot of talk about other projects. What would you do and how would you pay for it?
Well, it's a great question. And, you know, transportation is just vitally important. I own a business. I own a medical practice in Hampton Roads, and, you know, when my patients can't get to the office or I can't get to the office, then, You know, that's not good for anybody. And so, you know, we passed the transportation package of 2013. It's the first revenue that we've had for transportation since 1986. It was a bipartisan plan. I was proud to support that. As you know, my opponent has attacked me for that. And then, he said he wouldn't repeal it. And then he said to some Republican friends of his, well, if you support it, I support it. So he's all over the board on that. But the bottom line is, you know, we have billions of dollars coming into transportation right now that it's because of that 2013 package. We wouldn't have that if not for that legislation. And so you're seeing, and Northern Virginians are seeing projects like the expansion of I-66, the express lanes. We're working on 95. That's a tremendous bottleneck. Routes 28, Route 7, Route 1, all of these projects are possible because of that 2013 transportation package. We also have Smart Scale, which takes the politics out of, you know, which projects will be built next. One of the things that in a bipartisan way needs to be addressed, a floor needs to be put on the regional tax for gas. That wasn't done back in 2013. So when a bipartisan effort looks at that and calculates the gallon, the price or the revenue that comes in by a gallon of gas rather than the price of a gallon of gas, then that's something that will need to be addressed.
So that's where you would look for more funding, is that for the regional gas taxes in Hampton Roads and Northern Virginia?
Well, that's certainly millions of dollars that, you know, or that's revenue that they had anticipated, but because they didn't put a floor in that particular plan, it's revenue that we're not getting. So, you know, that was actually an effort the last 2 years by a Republican to put a floor on that tax. It wasn't accepted, but it's something that continues to need to be discussed.
There's been a lot of negativity, to put it nicely, in not just the governor's race, but down the ticket as well. Can you give voters something that you and maybe the other Democrats on the ticket with you really stand for? What really would be different if you were elected as opposed to one of your opponents?
Well, absolutely. You know, Democrats stand for the Virginia way, and that is jobs that Virginians can support themselves and their families with, having education for their children that will prepare them and train them for the 21st century workforce, having access to affordable and quality care, living in an inclusive Virginia where communities welcome people, environments where the air and water are clean, and communities where there are not guns on every street corner. This is what Virginians want. That's what they expect from their leadership. What we've seen from the other side are these ads like MS-13, and now we got one about human trafficking against our attorney general. They're despicable. They're inaccurate, and that's not what Virginians are about. And so we'll continue to stay on our message and do what's in Virginians' best interest and make sure, most importantly, that they have a job that they can support themselves and their families with. We're so proud. You know, we have brought in over 215,000 new jobs to Virginia. Our unemployment rate has gone from 5.4 to 3.7%. It's the lowest that it's been in 9 years. So good things are happening in Virginia. We've planted some very good seeds and some fertile ground, and these are going to grow, and we're going to continue to drive our economy. And it wasn't that long ago that Virginia was the number one state in this country to do business. Last year it was 13. Now we're up to 7. So we're on our way back to number one, and that's because of Democratic leadership.
I asked you this before the primary. I'm going to ask you again. Is there an issue that's flown under the radar in the campaign, that we haven't talked about yet, that you feel like you would be able to address and is very important?
Well, there are two. The first is, people know I'm a veteran of the United States Army, and we've done so much good work, and I will continue to work and make sure that Virginia is the most veteran-friendly state in the country. We have the V3 program, Virginia Values Veterans. We're on our way we're going to hire at least 50,000 veterans over the next 4 years, which I'm very proud of. The other thing that gets talked about some, but perhaps not enough, is the opioid crisis. Last year, we lost 1,100 plus Virginians to opioid overdose. As a doctor, I need to be at the table and make sure that we address this and all of us in Virginia wrap our arms around it. It's something that does not discriminate, and again, it's a real crisis. And as a doctor and future governor, I think I'm in a good position to help these folks out.
How do you do that? Just throwing more money at it, or is there an actual way to kind of hopefully turn this around?
Well, there are a couple of things that we've done and I will continue to do. One is to work with providers. We need to make sure to look at the more innovative ways of treating both acute and chronic pain. We need to work with law enforcement. There are far too many individuals who have mental illness and are addicted to opioids that are in our jails and penitentiaries. That's not the place for them to get treatment. We just put $30 million in our budget last year to help with mental illness, to make sure that individuals had same-day access to our community service boards if they need treatment. And finally, we wrote a blanket prescription for Narcan, which is also naloxone. That's a medication that will reverse the deadly side effects of opioids. And so now if someone is at risk or a family member's at risk, they can go into the pharmacy and without any questions being asked, they can leave with a dose of Narcan. And so this will is life-saving. We also have it with our first responders. So a lot of things that we've done, but we'll continue to work on as we move forward to really overcome the opioid challenge.
Obviously, some of those people have been arrested. They're now felons. Governor McAuliffe's restored voting rights to thousands of people. How would you handle restoration of rights?
Well, we're very proud that we've restored the rights of over 156,000 Virginians. You know, I tell people as I travel around Virginia that we're all human, and when someone makes a mistake and has paid back their time, the best thing that we can do to help them get back with their families, get back into the workforce, help with their self-esteem, is to restore their voting rights. And so we're proud of that. We'll move forward, and as the lists are available each month, we'll make sure that these individuals have their voting rights restored.
Last question. Why are you running for governor? You've had to traipse all across the state for, you know, more than a year and deal with all of these early mornings and late nights. Why are you running, and why have you taken the time to run this race and then hopefully serve 4 years?
I'm proud to be a Virginian. You know, I grew up on Virginia's Eastern Shore on a small farm. I've always worked hard, but I've had some great opportunities in my life. You know, things like access to a world-class education system. I had the opportunity to serve in the United States Army for 8 years, taking care of wounded soldiers during Desert Storm. I served in the Virginia Senate for 6 years and now as Lieutenant Governor for four. You know, I am very passionate about things like workforce development, education, access to affordable and quality health care, living in a clean environment and in safe communities. And finally, I'm all about inclusivity. I want to welcome people to the Commonwealth of Virginia. Our lights will be on, our doors open. We live in a very diverse society. So I'm just very passionate about Virginia. It's the best state in the best country in this world. And I'm going to make sure that we continue to head in a positive direction in the next 4 years as the 70s.